morning. Y'all doing okay? Good morning. Hello. Are you doing okay? Are you doing all right? People in the bleachers, y'all doing okay? People in the back, say, ah! Well, I got one. It's good to see you this morning. I'm so glad that you are here to get to endure this with us. I'm so looking forward to getting to do this series. Today starts a series on the book of Galatians. Really prayed a lot about where we're going with our series and stuff, and many of you have heard me talk about before that we kind of message map and try to cover all spectrums of God's Word and what He wants us to know about our lives, and we do a lot of topical stuff, and sometimes I think it's important for us to understand the need for us just to take Scripture and just walk right through it and see what God has for us. And I think that as this series progresses, we are all going to be amazed at what God is wanting to say to us and do through us through this Scripture. I think it's just going to be incredible. The book of Galatians, of course, is a letter from a guy named Paul, the Apostle Paul, to be exact. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Apostle Paul, but I got with me a little letter today. And this is from my wife. She doesn't know that I brought this up here with me. And so this will be fun to read in front of you as I was reading some of it back there in the back. And I'm not going to read you the whole thing because it's kind of long, you know, because she loves me like that. And in this letter, I just want to read just a little bit of this letter here. It says, "Chris, there years ago I committed my life to yours. I vowed to love you, honor you, cherish you in sickness, health, poverty, and wealth. Besides the decision to follow Christ, that was the single most important decision of my life. I want to promise you anew to keep those vows." When, you know, there wasn't anything bad going on when she wrote this. That's just her heart. Her heart always comes through in what she says and does, especially when it comes to us. Now, this is a love letter. And it's talking about a commitment that we as Christians often make to partners, and that commitment is so vastly important. And I think for many of us, we lose sight of that. Many times it happens because of finances or the kids or life in general just passes us by, and the next thing we know, we don't know who we're married to. I deal with a lot of people in that situation. You may be sitting here today, you may be in that situation. Paul wrote this letter because he loved a group of people and they had lost a commitment that they had made. And that commitment was to stay true to God and His Word. Now, I want to just kind of pick this up and just kind of tell you just a little bit about Galatians for just a moment here. And in the book of Galatians, we see Paul, of course, writing to the Galatians. Well, who are the Galatians, you say? Well, a lot of people would probably say, well, it's the church in Galatia. Well, it's not one church in Galatia. It's several churches in Galatia, maybe three or maybe four, at least that. But really, when he's writing this letter, he's writing it in such a way for us to all have this one day. He made it short, like a periodical, so that this thing would travel all around, so that they would all understand the importance of the things that Paul was trying to get these people to believe that had veered away from something that was so vastly important that we're going to talk about in just a minute. The area of Galatia is modern-day Turkey. It includes, back then, all kinds of cities that we see in the Bible, Theopolis and Laodicea and several others, countries and whatnot, or small cities. It's kind of like a city-state. It was basically a country, the country of Galatia. But the deal with Galatia was that it was kind of like the gateway to Asia. And one thing that we need to know in looking at this passage of Scripture, and they're saying, "Chris, okay, you know, I didn't come for the history lesson today, but I'm telling you, it is so important for us that when we take Scripture to understand where the Scripture is coming from and what is going on at the time of it being written, that we understand what is happening, because it does matter as to what's being said." And in this particular situation, it's no different. As a matter of fact, the area of Galatia had become this trading mecca. Everybody went to Galatia to trade. But the thing was, that was happening, was that people were trading their Christianity. They were trading their commitments to Christ for evil things. And that was happening all over Galatia. And so Paul knew going into this, Paul had helped start some of these churches in Galatia. And as he had helped start them, he as many of you that have started something in your life, I've started this church. I know, you know, how I feel about 24 Church. I know that I feel very much protective over it. And number one, I've been called to do that as the shepherd of this flock. But, you know, it's just something about when you've started something, you've been a part of doing something, even in the kingdom of God, even more so probably with the kingdom of God, then you are going to be protective of it, you're going to worry about it, you're going to be concerned for it. And Paul was definitely that in the middle of this area that had become a place where people were trading their belief in Christ for evil things. And this was starting to seep into the church. And so as he was writing this letter, he had to write a bold letter. And I don't know about you, but man, sometimes my walk with Christ needs somebody to just get right up in my face and get bold with me and say, Chris, you've fallen and you need to get up. And this is what's going on with you. I see this kind of happening in your life. Paul is doing that right here with this letter to the Galatians. This letter to the Galatians starts off, and we're just going to take it, chapter 1, verse 1. And it starts off like this, and it says, but an apostle, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I want to just take this. We're just going to break this thing down. In verse 1 right here it says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Right here, Paul is having to do something because here's what's happened. And you need just a little more background history on Paul and kind of what's going on. Everybody knows about Jesus and the disciples. We got Jesus and we got his 12 disciples. And we got the, you know, Matthias takes place of Judah, Judas, thank you. And so we've got still 12 disciples, even without Judas. And so we've got these 12 guys and they're known to be the apostles. And you need to just kind of know what that word means right there, that the word apostle was kind of a naval word. And it meant basically for somebody to be sent out to a foreign land, to a foreign country, to a foreign area as a representative. And so we know apostles as being people that Christ himself appointed to go and bear the good news of Christ. And so Paul's coming here, and he's opening this letter, and I just got to tell you, if you've got time on your hands, and you really should have time to do this, you should really go and read Paul's other letters, because this one varies big time. The way he starts this thing, the way this thing rolls out, is completely different than every other letter that we see Paul write in Scripture. Every single one. Look at Corinthians, look at Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, all of these letters all come out different. They come out different in their greeting, they come out different in how they are approaching these people. Paul, knowing that he's got to be bold going into what's going on, these people have basically strayed from the gospel of Christ, that he has got to just come in just kind of blaring. And he is starting off here, and you're saying, well, okay, he's just introducing himself as Apostle Chris. That's no big deal. It is a big deal, and this is why. These folks had it in their mind, because Paul helped start these churches, and he had taught them this thing, that basically they didn't have to believe Paul. And this was their reasoning. Paul, you're not an apostle. You're not one of the 12. But what Paul is doing in this passage of Scripture right here is that basically he's saying, guess what? I'm an apostle. And of course, you're sitting here saying right and thinking right now, you know what? He's not one of the 12. He wasn't one of those guys hanging out with Jesus in the beginning of his ministry all the way through and to the end and then saying, you know, all this stuff. No, but go read the book of Acts. Here's a little assigned reading for you if you want a little history on Paul. And I want to tell you just an incredible story that we see in Scripture is when Paul in the book of Acts is on the road to Damascus. And many of us know this story, but you may not know the story. And if you don't, then you should go and read it, because you see one of the most incredible things happen in all of Scripture, because you need to know something about Paul. He was a Christian killer. He was a murderer. God called him out in the middle of his life, in the middle of him leading people to kill people that followed Jesus Christ. God calls him out, blinds him. Well, I won't give the whole thing away, but you should go and read it. And basically, Christ himself comes before Paul and says, I am choosing you to go and to bear my name and to bear my gospel. Paul's an apostle. He's there. Christ appointed going to foreign lands. And that's exactly what Paul was. And so Paul is starting this off, and he's basically kind of letting these guys know on the front end, you can't believe me because I am an apostle, and this is why. And so then he goes on, sent not from men nor by man. And that's an incredible thing right there for us just to understand that Paul's just kind of saying, hey, guys, you know, this is not because some men laid hands on me. This is not because, you know, a church appointed me. No. Christ came to me. It was through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me to the churches in Galatia. And when he's saying to the brothers with him, he's talking about other missionaries that are around him in support of him and saying, these guys are with me, and they've been kind of talking to me about what's going on in Galatia, and I've been hearing some stuff that's not making me happy. In fact, it's breaking my heart. And I know that I love you enough that I've got to help you to see that you are straying away from what God has for your life. I have had those moments in my life. So clearly, one day when I was a youth pastor, I remember someone coming to me, and it was a parent of one of my students, and she asked me how I was doing, and I said, oh, I'm doing good. And she could tell that something, I really wasn't doing good, by the way. I was doing terrible. And I was just kind of in a rut in life and had just gone through some stuff that just kind of stunk. And she knew that. And she said, Chris, no, really, how are you really doing? And I, you know, proceeded to actually just kind of really tell her how I was doing. And I was, you know, well, I'm doing kind of crappy, actually. And this is kind of how that goes. And this is the story of my life right now. And it's not so great, but this is what it is. In the middle of that, she listened. And man, she is such a loving woman. And I love this lady so much. And she looked at me and she said, when I got done, she looked at me and she said, Chris, she said, I know that this is a tough time for you. She said, but just don't miss what God is doing right now all around you. And I really needed to hear that, because God was doing some incredible stuff all around me. You know something? Even in the times of life that are a storm, as we talked about last week, even in those times of life, God's still sovereign. He's still doing his thing, and he's still working all around us. But sometimes we miss that because we get so caught up in ourselves. Paul's going on here in verse 3, and it says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a greeting that we see Paul talk about several times through Scripture. Actually, just about every time you see Paul talking in Scripture, he's basically saying, grace and peace, that's his what up, yo, to all of his peeps when he goes and sees them or when he's writing a letter to them. And the grace and peace in this particular letter is coming across really strong, because at this point in the letter, usually Paul is kind of doing this whole like, hey, you guys are doing great and I'm just so proud of you guys, and man, I just love that church up there and all this stuff. And you see Paul, I mean, just check out the other epistles that Paul writes. You see Paul doing all of this building up before he starts kind of easing into the, you know, oh, you're not doing so good here type stuff. And right here, he, once again, every one of these words is so meaningful. And the grace that he's talking about here is just a throwing out right out in the front, right after the first or second sentence here. Paul's just basically saying, hey, don't forget, it's the grace of God that allows us to have the peace that comes only in Christ. And there's so much more to that that I could talk about, and I need to keep going here. It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, right here, I'm going to stop for just a second. Just a second ago, I read verse 1, And in verse 1, it said, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, right there, I want you to stop. Don't lose me on this, because this is pretty cool. Right here in this passage of Scripture, it says, Jesus Christ and God the Father. Okay? We get that. We understand that. Okay? And then in verse 3, he flips these two. It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he do that? I mean, he just got through talking about them. Why is he doing it again? And why did he flip it? Well, here's why. These guys were having trouble with believing how you get to heaven. These guys were adding things to the gospel. We're going to see that here in just a minute. And basically what he is doing is he is basically showing the divine nature of who Christ was. That Christ was not just another man, but that Christ and God the Father are interchangeable. They are one. Beginning of the Trinity. The last part being the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 4, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. Man, this is just all over me. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I just, we're going to like camp on this. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. Now, right there, the rescue us thing. I want everybody to get this, because maybe you have a different translation of the Bible, and it does matter kind of what translation you have, because some of them are not always clear at explaining certain things. Not picking on the King James Version, but the King James Version would translate this to deliver, and that is not what the Greek interpretation of this should be. It should be to rescue. You say, well, Chris, what's the difference? Deliver, rescue. Well, there is a difference. You see, God has no intention of delivering us from this earth. Does that make sense? He does not intend to deliver us out of our life. He wants us in the life that he has given us. He wants to rescue us from evil. He wants to rescue us from evil. But he wants us to live in this world. This is what I tell people all the time. This is one of those things that I think so many people in the church has really just kind of pushed this, I think, toward us for so many years, that people just kind of think this way, that when I become a Christian, then I'm supposed to start looking like this and, you know, talking just like this and, you know, all these things. And yes, there are things that you are supposed to strive after in being a Christian, being more like Christ. But one of the things that we know that Christ did was he lived a life in this age. He lived amongst people that were evil. And you see, you and I have been called to live the lives that we have been given, not to be delivered from them. The idea is not that, oh, I become a Christian, so then I leave this life behind and I leave all of these people behind. No. That's not it at all. In fact, that's complete opposite. God wants us to live in that life with those people and to share Christ with them, to live that new life. It goes on in this same verse, and I read some of this week, and it's just taken me all week to just really process this. So I'm just going to kind of throw it on you, and you can just kind of see what happens to it with you. And I'm not trying to scare you, but it's kind of heavy, but it's cool, and it's just great all at the same time. In verse 4, it says, of course, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us, we just talked about that, from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, the present evil age. What is that all about? Well, the present evil age is something that we don't hear a lot about. And to be honest with you, I don't know that I've really heard a lot of people really teach about. But in this passage of Scripture, what he is talking about is that there are two ages. I knew that would happen. There are two ages in Scripture that Scripture is putting on us. There is the old age and there is the new age. Now, a lot of people just break this down as, you know, before Christ, after Christ. Well, there's something that you need to know, and that's that the new age did not start until Christ came along. And there are these two ages, and this is what's going to make this kind of complex, and I wish I had something really cool to illustrate, but I really don't. But it's like these two timelines going along at the same time, and they are paralleling each other. And we are in both of these timelines at the same time. At least you are if you know Christ. Now, if you don't know Christ, then you are still in the old age. But this old age will end. And a lot of people don't think that the new age begins until we've died. Oh, one day I'm going to die and I'm going to go to heaven. It's going to be great. The thing that God wants us to understand about knowing Christ and being a follower of Him is that He wants us to live for Him today in the old age. We are to be a light of the world, salt of the earth. And this whole old age, new age deal, this is, you know, just one of those things that I think so many of us, we've just kind of resigned ourselves to just kind of just living. You know, I'm just gonna do life, you know, however I want to. And I know God probably wants me to do some stuff, but I just don't care. And that's so missing the boat. It's so missing the freedom in Christ, which we'll talk about later in the series. But our understanding that heaven for us doesn't begin when we die, but it began when we came to Christ is just a huge, huge thing. And I'm just going to have to wait till later in the series to really go further into that. Of course, it says, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And basically, he is just saying right here, guess what? Christ gave himself for our sins, as he says, to rescue us, and that this was according to God's will all along. This was the plan. And all along, you guys have been kind of looking for something different, and it didn't come. And the plan was this. And if you're not careful, you'll miss that. I have a feeling that there are probably folks here today that maybe have missed that. And maybe you've missed it because of what we're about to talk about here in just one second. Maybe you've just been mistaught. Maybe you've been misled, and maybe not by people that meant to do that. They just didn't know any better. But that it's through Christ and the faith in Him and the grace of God that we can have eternal life. To the churches in Galatia and to all of us here today, in verse 6, we start in embarking on the journey of no other gospel. And this is probably Paul's biggest reason, although he has some other reasons, but this is one of his biggest reasons for writing this love letter. And you know, sometimes love letters are not easy to read. Because when we really love somebody, we're completely open and honest with them, aren't we? And Paul was completely open and honest with these folks. And we see that right here. And he's just getting right to it. And in verse 6 he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And we're going to keep reading. We're going to kind of come back to this. In verse 7 it says, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently some people are throwing you into confusion or trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Wow. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. This passage of Scripture just brings a whole lot of stuff to the table for us that is so important for us today in church. I just got to tell you. If there's a passage of Scripture that 24 Church can stand on today, it's this. It's our understanding that God's Word is His Word, and that we are not to be adding to it, and we are not to be taking away. And right here in the beginning, Paul, of course, is writing to these guys, and these guys are new believers. I mean, these churches aren't that old. I mean, Christ hadn't been, you know, gone too long, and here's Paul, and he's out there doing his thing, and he's starting these churches, but they can't possibly be that old. And it says in verse 6, I am astonished that you so quickly, that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. in this passage of Scripture, when he is saying so quickly, he is talking to people that are new believers. He's basically looking at these folks and he's saying, hey, you just came to Christ. What happened? Somebody's leading you astray. You got to know how to look for those people. You've got to know how to be able to decipher when that person is teaching God's word and when they're not. And that's true for us today. I hear so many people tell me stories of going to other churches. One of the issues that our folks that are over in Portugal right now, if you're kind of joining us in on the Portugal conversation, we've got some people in Portugal, well, probably not right now because they're on a different time deal than us, but that are meeting on Sunday mornings and listening to 24 Churches podcast and having church in a home. And they're praying through the possibility of starting a church there. The reason that they're feeling this is because they've been to the English-speaking churches around them and they haven't found one that's teaching the gospel. It is so important for us to never stray away from the gospel and to never try to add to it. And especially for those of us that we know that we've got young believers around us, and this is, man, this is a call that's on my life, and this is a call that's on our home team leaders' lives. And anybody in here, if you are ever teaching the Word of God, this is it. This is it. You don't have to add something to it. You know, you can be creative in explaining it. We do that all the time here. Christ did it all the time through Scripture. We're just imitating things we saw Christ doing. But the understanding that this is what we've got to stand on, and to understand that people that are new believers could so quickly be misled. And so if you're a new believer here today, or maybe you've just started growing again in your relationship with Christ, I want to say this to you. You need to be in God's Word. You're saying to yourself right now, how do I tell the fake from the real thing? Well, you've got to study this. You've got to read it. But let me just tell you something. When you start reading this, your life is going to change. God is going to speak to your heart. And that's exactly what He wants to do. This is not for a book report. This is because God wrote you a letter. And He used people like Paul to do it. So quickly deserting. And that word deserting there that Paul is usually using as a military term could be equal with something like a turncoat. Somebody that has basically turned their backs on an entire crew of people, their army, their military. The one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Now, here's the saving grace of these guys right here in this passage of Scripture. They are turning to a different gospel. You say, well, Chris, what's the big deal with that? I don't understand. The are turning means that they are in the process of doing this. They have not done it yet, but they are in the process of doing it. And that's the way Paul writes it. That's the tense Paul writes it in. And that's an understanding for us to understand that Paul is basically kind of catching them in the middle of this, which is a good thing, not a woo-hoo, I caught you kind of thing, but like a woo-hoo, I caught you and I want to help you out of this thing. They haven't gone too far. And because they are still turning to this different gospel, Paul gets them this word and they are able to, in turn, turn back to God. Verse 7, it says, which is really no gospel at all, talking about this different gospel. Paul didn't want to just leave it at talking about this different gospel because he didn't want people to be confused. He didn't want people thinking, oh, there's another gospel out there. Well, where's the other gospel? I want to go look for that gospel. Is it back here? No. Because in the next verse, he says, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And right here, he's calling out false teachers. He's saying, you know, I'm guessing, and he'd already heard, he kind of knew what was going on, but he's saying, I'm guessing that there are probably people out there that they are leading you astray because they are teaching you something that is a perverted gospel. Let me ask you just a question real quick, and it's not a don't answer back or anything, please. But just kind of think for just a moment. How sure are you about what you know about God's Word? How sure are you that the things that you've learned are completely 100% biblically based? You not only learned them growing up, or you not only learned them, you know, since you've been coming here, but you know, whatever, but that you've actually gone and you've looked in Scripture and you found exactly where it said that, and you're like, that's right on. I'm glad that I know exactly where that's at. And you may not be able to tell me exactly where it's at. I'm not saying that today. But how much time do you give to seeking God through His Word to know what He wants you to know? Because I'm going to tell you, there's a bunch of people out here today that are real interested in teaching you all kinds of games when it comes to perverting Scripture so that they can make money or they can have a TV show or whatever it is. And some of that stuff is good, but a whole bunch of it's bad. And maybe, you know, I'll just tell you something that my dad told me when I was a kid. My dad's a pastor, if you did not know that. And I remember riding down the road one day with my dad, and I remember going, Dad, tell me about such and such. And I don't remember exactly what I asked him, but it was something to do with Scripture and something to do with the Bible. And, you know, I'm pretty sure it was asking him something about Jesus and the apostles and me trying to understand something about it all. And he explained it to me, whatever it was. But then when he got done explaining it to me, he said, Chris, he said, let me tell you something. He said, don't you ever believe something just because I told it to you. He said, and you don't dare, as you grow up, he said, you don't dare believe things just because other people tell it to you. You go and you find out for yourself. And that really only comes from just being in God's Word. And listen, I know that's an overwhelming thought for a lot of you that are growing in a new faith. And I just want to say to you today that it's a process. And I'll just tell you, I feel inadequate every day in what I know about God's Word. Every single day. And I have to work and study for it. And I spend my free time doing it, just like many of you do. And it's just one of those things that we have to seek after. In verse 8, it says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him eternally be eternally condemned. Now, when he's talking about even we or an angel from heaven, two things that he's doing right there. And let me just kind of throw these out at you because you need to know these. Paul is saying, I am not exempt from this rule. He is lumping himself in with saying, listen, guys, I'm not just teaching about whoever these guys are that, you know, are leading you astray. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not just teaching about them. I'm not just preaching against them. No. I'm talking about me too. I'm throwing myself in there and let it be known that if I am preaching a false gospel, let me be condemned. He goes on right there, right after that, and he says, right after the we, he says, or an angel from heaven. And what he's saying there is that there's going to be some people that just come along and they just look so good and they got such a good talk. Man, and they seem to be so knowledgeable. They got to be telling the truth. Check out 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and you'll see Satan disguising himself as an angel of light. And that's exactly what he likes to do in our lives. We have got to seek God in every situation that we come into, with the people that we entrust our kids with the people that we entrust our teaching with. And I'm just telling you, we have got to guard ourselves so hard. And this is tough. This is a tough thing to do, but we've got to guard ourselves to make sure that Satan is not the one jumping in on us here. When he gets down to the end of this verse, says, let him be eternally condemned. And he says that here again in a minute. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and read verse 9. It says, as we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted when they came to Christ, let him be eternally condemned. Eternally condemned. What do you think that means? It means exactly what you think it means. It means let him go to hell. Literal translation of that is to be damned. And what Paul is doing here is he is setting the stage. I mean, this book alone, the book of Galatians, if you're wanting to grow as a Christian, this is a great place to start. If you want to get, you know, some stuff to study this with and check it out. I'm just telling you because this book in of itself has been kind of nicknamed the Magna Carta of the Christian faith. Because Paul just lays some straight up stuff down that we need to know and understand that is 100% about our faith. You see, there are things that, you know, you've heard me talk about this stuff before where you hold on to doctrine here and you can change methods over here all day long. You know, you can, you know, move the stages in the middle of the room like they were last week or whatever. You know, that's, God doesn't care about that. He cares about being glorified. And He cares about this being taught in truth. And so for us to understand, you know, that there's a difference between those things that we hold on to and those things that we cling tight to. We cling tight to the doctrine of Christ. We cling tight to the understanding that if we are misusing this, adding to it, taking away from it, that we might as well be damned. And that's what Paul is saying. And that's a tough word, but man, how important that is in this day and age when everybody is starting a new thing, and man, oh, we got this new thing, and we got this, you know, we got this new deal because a couple hundred years ago, this guy fell and found some plates, and he wrote a book, and, you know, now that's the add-on to the Bible. Look, there is no add-on to the Bible. We've got it. This is it. This is all you need to completely change your life. I can guarantee it because it's done it for me. Goes on in verse 10, says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Very simply there, Paul is just saying, you know good and well, as he had been accused of being a man pleaser by some of these folks and some other folks, he's basically saying, hey, you think I'm trying to please men? You really think that? You really think that I'm really trying to please men? Because, guys, you know, I could not teach this and put on a dog and pony show and we would have a whole lot more people show up. And that's exactly how I feel some Sundays. I know how Paul feels. Because pleasing people is not always conducive with teaching the complete Word of God. But God has called us to teach this completely. And in doing so, sometimes it just goes over us and it's like, oh, that kind of hurts. Or I don't really want to hear that, or it makes me kind of uncomfortable. And listen, that's because God loves us. And the love letter that He has written to us is not one that is going to candy coat stuff. It's going to be straightforward and straight on. And it's going to help us to understand who God wants to be in our lives and who we can be in freedom in Christ. You may be here today and maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've just kind of attended church all your life or something. I don't know. I attended church all my life for a long time, was a preacher's kid, and you know, went down an aisle and got wet and the whole bit, and I still wasn't a believer because I had just done that to make a bunch of people happy. You may be sitting here today and you may be realizing for the first time in your life, you know, I don't know Christ. God has never truly changed me from the inside because I've never given my life to Him. And after the service, after every service, I'm always hanging out in front of this stage. And I love talking with folks, but I want to tell you, if you're in that state and you want to talk and you just want to pray today, I can't force you to make any kind of decision. I'm not going to try to. But I would love to talk with you. And I just want you to know you have all access to go right to the front of the line and just cut line in front of everybody else and I'll just wave them off. And we'll go find somewhere to talk and pray together. For that matter, we do this any time of the week, but I just urge you that God speaks to your heart and you should listen when He is speaking and you should act when He is speaking. I want to just pray for us for just a moment. Will you just bow your heads with me and let me just kind of pray over us for a minute here. God saving us is by His unmerited favor. Now, I want us all just kind of this morning to kind of be lifting up maybe anybody that's here today that maybe doesn't know Christ, but for them to understand that there's nothing in this world that they can do to accept God's favor other than to go through Christ, His only Son. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're just kind of sitting here and you're thinking, okay, I'm trying to figure this out, Chris. I really want to understand. I really want to know. This is the bottom line. You've got to want to give your life over to Christ to let Him be the Lord of your life. You've got to accept and have faith in what Christ has done for us on the cross, that He came to bear our sin, that He was the sacrifice for our sin. If you can accept that He was the sacrifice for our sin and ask for forgiveness, you too can know that peace, you can know that grace, and there is nothing else on this planet that you can get that grace by. There is nothing else on this planet that you can get that unmerited favor by. God wants to do a great work in your life and in your heart. And through that unmerited favor, through that grace, through not being able to do anything on this earth, but just trusting in faith in Christ, you can know Him. I want to just pray for us right now. If you're a Christian here today, you can be lifting up other folks that are maybe not believers, but maybe you yourself right now are just kind of going, you know what, I'm not taking God's word as it is for a whole. And I need to. I need to be seeking You, Lord. I know I feel like that every day. So let us just pray right now and just seek God earnestly together with all of our hearts. God, I just thank You so much for the opportunity that we have just, God, to teach Your word, to hear from it, to learn from it. Lord, You are truly amazing. Your gospel is amazing. God, I just pray, Lord, this morning, God, that if there's anybody here that doesn't know You, God, that they would just turn to You today. God, that they would believe in You and trust their life with You. God, I pray, Lord, for anyone that's here this morning, God, that maybe is already a believer, but God, they're just realizing, you know what, I'm just not taking it for a whole. I'm taking the bits and pieces I want to hear, and I'm throwing out the rest. God, I just lift that person up to You today because, God, that really means humbling a heart. That really means overcoming pride. And so, God, I just lift them up to You today. And, God, I just ask, God, that they would just seek You, Lord, and You would humble them, that You would speak to their hearts. God, for every one of us in this room today, if we're real honest, God, there's something that we're lacking in, that we're missing on. God, that we just want to get closer to You. We want to be more like You, and we want to be who You want us to be most of all. God, just guide us in that process. Guide us through Your word. Teach us who You want us to be. Lord, thank You. Thank You for giving us Your word. In Your name I pray. Amen.